This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Thank you so much for joining us once again for The Invisible War with our host and teacher, Dr. Rob Randall. I'm Kevin Harris, and today we continue the subject of the power of prayer, especially as it relates to spiritual warfare. Now, that's what the Invisible War radio program is all about. We want to bring you biblical, balanced teaching on spiritual warfare, and all of this teaching is from Dr. Randall's book, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press. By the way, you can get your copy of this most valuable Bible study on spiritual warfare by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can order your copy at most any bookstore near you. Also, you can download any and all programs of The Invisible War by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, and click on the broadcast button. Each program is available to you for your personal Bible study. You can review each topic of Dr. Randall's study on spiritual warfare, and each program is a wonderful resource into these matters of life and death that have been so neglected by so many in the church today. Dr. Randall, good to see you today. Glad you're in the studio. And we're going to jump headfirst into the power of prayer as we continue this subject.
Kevin, how blessed we are to have you as a significant part of the Invisible War radio ministry. Today, I want to discuss the importance of righteousness as we pray. The scriptures say, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." James chapter 5, verse 16.
Now, Dr. Randall, just as soon as you mention the word righteous, it's going to scare some people to death. They're going to say, well, that's not me. I'm far from righteous. Or they're going to say that we're calling them to perfection. Or people might say, well, I can't be perfect, so I guess I can never pray in power and be effective when I pray.
I'm so glad that you have tuned in today. Listen carefully to the program. We don't want anyone to walk away confused as to what we're talking about here. All righteousness comes from our Heavenly Father. Righteousness is not natural. Let me say that again. True righteousness is not natural. It is supernatural. That is, true righteousness doesn't originate from us. It comes from heaven. You know, the Bible declares in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags." There is none righteous, no, not even one, Romans 3:10. Oh, how our flesh hates this truth. Do you see it? You and I will never be good enough to work with holy God in prayer. The righteousness that is needed in spiritual battle is not our righteousness, but the righteousness of our Lord. The Lord saved us not because of our righteousness, but because He loved us. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, verse 5. The righteousness needed to be victorious in spiritual conflict is the righteousness of Christ. Everyone who has truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ has a perfect standing before God because Christ is his righteousness. But by doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 through 31. Jesus Christ is the one the Bible calls righteous. He is righteous. He is sanctification. He is our redemption. For you see, if it's anything that we do, then we would get the glory. We would boast in ourselves. But the righteousness of God that he gives us causes us only to boast in him. In theological terms, the righteousness of God has two wonderful facets. The righteousness of our Lord is that which has been imputed and that which is imparted to the believer. Imputed righteousness is what Christ has given to us by way of the new covenant in his blood. Webster defines impute as the act of crediting by way of transferal. Another helpful translation of the word is reckoned. What a wonderful picture of this truth. The believer has been made righteous through his union with Christ, paid for with the blood of Jesus. The righteousness of God is a gift given to all who will receive Christ as their Savior. James chapter 2, verse 23, hear the word today. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. The second wonderful part of this truth is the imparted righteousness of our Lord. Imparted righteousness is the work of God in our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that has come to dwell in the life of every believer. It is the holy desire to be right with God and to be right with men. The Holy Spirit never allows the believer to rest until he is walking in holiness. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit will never allow us to rest until we are walking in holiness. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about walking in holiness. He gives every believer a holy desire and the strength to do the right thing. Listen to the word Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is a work of God. Righteousness is a gift from God through our walk with Jesus Christ as he is revealed in and through our lives. On the invisible war, you have heard me say on more than one occasion that to be effective in our walk with the Lord, we must make certain that no doors of disobedience are left open in our lives that would allow the enemy a place to work and ultimately hinder our work with Christ in prayer. I believe that victory in the invisible war comes first and foremost in the secret places of our fellowship with our Lord. It comes, Kevin, in the prayer closet. In our most intimate times with our Lord, as we work with him through prayer to see that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That which enables the enemy to steal our victory and keep us in bondage is our own sin, our cooperation through temptation with the evil one, our disobedience to our Lord that we have been unwilling to take to the cross of Christ through confession and repentance.
Now, Dr. Randall, someone might be thinking, well, how can we truly know what is a sin? There's so many different ideas concerning sin. That is, what is sin for me may not be sin for you, and so on. Take us down this road.
You know, Kevin, the only way to know is to get our definitions of this most important spiritual matter from the Bible. It's not about opinions, our education, our background, or what we deem right or wrong. It's what the Bible says. I want everyone who can turn with me in your Bible, do so today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And as you're turning, let me mention two other passages that relate here. In James chapter 4, verse 17, we find these words, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." In Romans 14, 23, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith." Notice here, "And whatever is not from faith is sin." Sin can only be understood in the context of faith, or the lack of it. And we find in our faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the definition of what faith really is. So let's look at it. And through our understanding of faith, we can begin to understand what is sin. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 7 with me, would you? "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." For there to be biblical faith, there first must be revelation. God must speak. God must give us his word to obey. It's not a subjective faith. It doesn't begin with us. It begins with the word of God, the revelation of God. And so we find Noah began to build an ark even before the clouds gathered, even before a raindrop fell. He believed what God had told him, and it was counted unto him faith. Secondly, not only does God speak before there's faith, but there has to be a decision. We have to decide whether or not what God says is true. Verse 11, look at it with me. "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. Here it is, since she considered him faithful who had promised." God promised. She had to consider. She had to decide whether or not what God told her was true. You know, most folks stop there, Kevin. But until we act upon what we believe God says to us is true, there's no real faith. There has to be revelation, there has to be a decision, and then there has to be action. Look at verse 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out." He obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Here is the true biblical definition of faith. God must speak. Has he spoken to us? Yes, he's given us his word. It is forever settled in heaven. We must decide whether or not it is true. Our decision doesn't make it true, but there can't be faith until we decide to believe God. And that decision must lead us to obey. So the biblical definition, faith is obedience to what God has said. God's not asking for our opinion. Faith comes down to doing what God has told us to do. So when you and I simply disobey God's word, there's no faith.
Okay, Rob, and then by that, we can kind of put it in a nutshell. Sin is simply disobeying God's word.
That's right. I remember when I was a student at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, we had a visiting retired missionary to teach our class one day in a class called World Evangelism. I soon learned that this visiting retired missionary was known as Miss Bertha. Her name was Bertha Smith. I was real excited to get to hear her speak. Miss Bertha was present during one of the greatest, if not the greatest, outpouring of the Spirit of God in Southern Baptist life. It was during what was called the Shantung Revival. It was a move of the Spirit of God we know as a genuine revival in the Shantung province in China at the beginning of the turn of the century. This precious-looking, white-haired, saintly lady turned the class from a time of reporting and testimony of what God did in China to a time of conviction and a call to repentance. She said, "Boys, go home and make your sin list. If you ever hope to be used of God, you must deal with your sin, your areas of disobedience to the Lord. If you don't," she said, "you will never be used of God, no matter how big your church may be." Kevin, I confess, I was offended. She seemed so harsh. However, I have come to understand that Miss Bertha was right on. I want to encourage each of you who are listening to The Invisible War, take time to make your sin list. Today on the Invisible War program, I want to help all of us who are ready and willing to be used of God in prayer in taking a journey into spiritual cleansing.
Dr. Randall, when you say make your sin list, this doesn't sound like a list that you would put on the front of the refrigerator for all to see. This sounds like something that would be between you and God. What do we mean by making your sin list?
You know, before we can effectively pray for our loved ones or those in our church or for ourselves, we must first make certain our heart is right with God. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, would you hear the word with me today? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Can I say that again? Would you hear it with your heart? Would you make it your prayer right where you are? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." You know, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, the Bible makes it very plain. The person who sins will die. I don't know how to make it more plain. The person who cooperates with sin, who falls into sin, will die. Relationships die. Joy dies. Our bodies die. Churches die. Families die. Businesses die. The person that sinned brings death into his life. Thank God we have a wonderful Savior. And through confession, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what you've been involved in or what has happened to you, there's enough blood shed on Calvary to forgive and cleanse all sin. But to cover it up and not confess it enables the enemy access into our lives to steal, to kill, and destroy our own walk with the Lord and hinder our work with Holy Spirit in the prayer closet so that when we pray, our prayers are not answered and our prayers are not heard. If you have already confessed certain sins, we're not here today condemning anyone. We're not trying to bring a guilt trip upon you. If you've confessed these specific sins that we talk about on the sin list, don't go back there again. Don't go digging it back up. If it's covered, it's covered. But if it's still at work, if it has not been given to the Lord, oh, please take the journey into cleansing. I can't do it for you. If I could say a prayer and cleanse everybody's heart that's listening on the radio, I would do it. But I can't. But I can do it with you. We can do it together. And I want to encourage you today, take your journey into a time of personal cleansing. Ask that no other voice be heard but the voice of the Lord Jesus. We don't need the accuser. We just need the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He does not come to condemn you today. He comes to cleanse you. Would you give it to him today? Would you do it?
Well, Dr. Rob Randall, just when it's getting good, we've run out of time, and we want to invite everyone to come back next week as we start to get into these areas, these categories in which all of us deal, these areas of sin that you call in your book, The Invisible War, Sin List, and we're going to begin next week with sins of the tongue. We want to thank you so much for listening today, and remember that it is through your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you and to the many hurting and wounded among us. If you've been blessed by this program, would you give as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give? And be sure and pray for us, because when we're dealing with the area of spiritual warfare, we always expect some resistance from the enemy. You can make your investment into this ministry by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, that's theinvisiblewar.org, or call us toll-free at 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. If you don't have access to a computer, send your letters in support to Rob Randall Evangelistic Ministries, Incorporated, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. That's P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. We look forward to hearing from you. Do it today. Dr. Randall, at the end of our program, we always ask you to pray for us, to help us absorb what you've taught us from the Word of God, and to help us as we go forward from this point. Would you lead us in prayer?
Make an altar right where you are. You know, words are not magic. God knows our hearts. But would you just turn your heart to the Lord right now as we join our hearts together in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to turn to you. We thank you that your mercies are brand new every day. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' mighty name that you would put us in the circle of your blood from the north, south, east, and west, from above and beneath. May no other voice be heard but the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. May all cover, blocking, lying spirits be bound in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you do not accuse us. You love us. We know who the accuser is, and it's not you. You did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved. So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to work with you, to listen to you, to hear you speak to us about those areas in our lives that are still not right with you, places where we have disobeyed your word. Oh, Lord, cleanse our hearts today. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Search our hearts, know our thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us, O God, into the way everlasting. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that there's enough blood on Calvary to save and cleanse anyone and any sin. Lord, thank you that you're greater. You're greater than our sin. Thank you. You are greater than the accuser. Thank you, Lord. You are greater. Come, baptize us in the love of Abba Father and seal it with your blood. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, if you've prayed with me today, I want to hear from you. Would you contact us? TheInvisibleWar.org. That's TheInvisibleWar.org. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. If you want folks to be able to help you bear the prayer burden with you, call us. Let us know who you're praying about. Whether it's you or a family member you're concerned about, give us those prayer concerns, and we would be glad to bear that burden with you. When you call, I want you to know I personally will receive your call, and I personally will be getting back with you. So thank you for the sweet privilege that is ours to help you bear your burden in prayer. Let us know how we can minister to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your support. And we look forward to this same time when we shall meet together as we study the Word of God together next week on The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.